DavidRenicki.com. Check out the website if you need to know more. The man himself is a more pleasant experience. David Renicki is with me. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Bilko, once again.
Mate, it's good to have you back again on the show. We touched on this a little bit last week, but this is certainly gaining a lot of traction now. We've got this scientist who's invented a new plasma engine that can get us to Mars 10 times faster. When you're saying that speed, how long between here and Earth?
Look, let's just look at what we've got at the moment. The trip to Mars is a 7-month journey.
Good.
I mean, that's a long way.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to how long the convict ships took to get out here from England.
Yeah.
Now, 7 months to be cooped up in a tin can with people, you know, that you've got to get along with, that's not an easy ask. Plus, you know, the money involved, the time, the expense, feeding and all that sort of thing, your fuel. Mars is a long way from here, but it doesn't have to be because we're using a system of drive. We're using chemical fuel rockets. It's just an expensive way to do anything, and it always has been. We watch the science fiction movies, and they all talk about photon drive,
yeah, that's right,
all sorts of stuff. Well, we're getting near that now. There's been a new development. Dr. Fatima Brahimi has invented what's called a fusion rocket thruster concept. Now, it's not her idea. It's based on known physics, but it's pretty much the same sort of physics that happens in the sun.
They're certainly attaching her name to it, aren't they, though?
Yes, they are, because she's the one that's pushing it forward. She's come up with some new equation.
Yeah, right.
And this is using magnetic fields to shoot plasma particles, electrically charged gas, out the back of the spacecraft that pushes it forward. Now, it's very efficient. You don't have to carry much fuel with you, and it can propel the vehicle 10 times faster than chemical fuel rockets. So what's that mean? It means that that journey to Mars could come down to something like 2 weeks.
And that means
maybe
colonization, visitors, space tourism on Mars will be the next step, mate.
Well, look, that's only the start. I mean, these rockets are only rudimentary things. They're only fairly basic. There are new ideas that come after that can build on that. And, you know, I can see a time coming, maybe in the second half of this century. Who knows?
Yeah.
It may even be before that, where we develop other drive systems that we don't really know about now that can get us there in a matter of weeks, days.
I want to see in Richard Branson's lifetime as he'll develop hotels on Mars and we'll have a whole big Virgin space industry. I love it. Anyway, hey, Contact. We talk about that movie a lot, Jodie Foster, and that mysterious signal that, you know, got everyone excited around the world. Apparently something like that is really out there?
Yes, it is, and no, it's not. I know it sounds like a contradiction, but there's been a signal picked up in Proxima Centauri. It's a red dwarf star. It's about 4.2 light years away. It's in the Alpha Centauri system. Now, the signal is interesting. It's a narrow cast signal, which tells us that it's more or less mechanically contrived. And it's been coming at us for a little while. Been picking it up with the Parkes radio telescope. And over a five-hour recording period, they turned the receiver away and then came back again, and the signal was still there. It wasn't detected when it was aimed in another direction, so it's an intentional signal. We don't understand why, but it's coming in on a frequency it's not allowed to be used by anyone, military or whatever,
right?
Civilian, and it's centered on the star Proxima Centauri. Well, we know there are planets around this star, and these planets may have people on them. Who knows? There could be somebody out there that's sending a beacon out in the form of a message that we don't understand.
Could be a TV show from them as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a movie Contact all over here. But look, one thing we've got to be careful of, it could be something else. It may be something we're not aware of. It could be some sort of an echo signal. It could be anything. We're not quite sure. Nobody's saying that it's an extraterrestrial signal. It's just an unusual signal that has all the qualities and all the quantities and everything about it indicates that it would be what you would expect, you know, from somebody sending a message out from somewhere else.
We just have to
doing the same thing.
Just have to decode it, David. That's the hardest thing, is can we understand it or turn it into its mathematical simplicity, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll just wait and see how it develops. But it's interesting to think that perhaps, you know, that question that we've been asking ourselves for time immemorial, that question, are we alone, it could be answered.
Yeah, be nice, wouldn't it? Now, everyone's going crazy about Holy Moly at the moment. And was it this week in, 71, Alan Shepard played golf on the moon? That would have set hearts aflutter and got people thinking, hello, space tourism.
Yeah, what a character. He goes down in history as the fifth person to walk on the moon. We're talking about Alan Shepard, and the oldest man to walk on the moon, 47, when he did that in February 1971. Commander Alan Shepard did something unusual on the moon. He took a shovel handle, and he brought with him his own six-iron club. He bought that, and he attached that to the shovel handle. And what he made up with that was a modified golf iron, a six-iron. So he took some golf balls with him on the moon. He stood there, and he wanted to demonstrate how gravity is different on the moon than it is here by hitting a ball, showing you could hit it further, less effort. So he dropped one ball on the surface of the moon and hit it, and he did your trick. I'm pretty sure every time you sometimes hit the slice to one side, the ball straight. Yeah, well, he did the same. That ball disappeared. He didn't find it. He dropped another one down there, and he gave it a belt. And you can watch it on YouTube. It's actually still, they've got the video of him doing it. He belted the ball, and when Mission Controls is what I'm trying to say. When they asked him how did it go, he said it went for miles and miles and miles. Now, when we go to the moon, you know, and finally people start walking around up there, someone's going to come across it sitting in a bunker. And that bunker would be a crater somewhere where Alan Shepard has belted this ball. It may have only gone a few hundred metres or 100 metres or anything like that. We don't know. But on the moon, you know.
It certainly didn't go into space because the moon does have some sort of gravity, so it would have been attracted back to, it would have been too small to go into space and stay there.
Yeah, it's just, you just belted the heck out of it. But anyone going up there, when they walk around on the moon there, the next time we go, they're going to find a whole bunch of stuff, that we've left behind. There's probably 100 different things up there from all the moon landings we've been to, including a few rovers that are sitting there ready to come back.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be people wanting to flog them off on eBay or recycle them into something. So there's money to be made from the waste up there. So.
Can I just tell you that golf club, I'm not sure whether this is true or not, but I did hear it, that it was donated to Bob Hope.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Because Bob Hope apparently, there seemed to be a connection here. I don't know whether he was golfing with Alan Shepard at one stage, but I think he made an inference or said something or even suggested they do that. Well, he may have said to Alan, how would it be if you played golf up there? Well,
Alan took him up on it.
That's what we think. And it's now in the museum anyway.
Yeah. I know Bob had a pretty good golf handicap in his day, so he was fairly interested in that.
He would too.
Yeah. If you want to see something silly, watch that Holy Moly. It's essentially...
I pass on that. I'm not sure whether
Like the old It's a Knockout from the 80s. So if you remember that show, it's a whole load of fun just with golf clubs.
Yeah.
Now, this is a relevant question too, David. There's talk about we're on another cusp of UFO crazes, but the thing is the unidentified stuff probably could be readily identified. We've got so much flying in the air that we pretty much know what a lot of it is, don't we?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good fix on it. What they're saying here in the story is that we're more accustomed now for the message that may come that we did get a signal from somewhere else. Even if we made contact, I don't think people today would be too worried about it, or wouldn't be any mass panic like the movies portray. You know, if you go back 20, 30, 40, 50 years or so, I mean, I remember in 1977 when Star Wars came out and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, I grew up with the movie Alien. I grew up with the Jetsons. You know, we were programmed into thinking that there are other people out there. And unfortunately, the old B-grade science fiction movies for people of my era gave us the impression we're going to be invaded. Now it's different. There are young people today, people who are with young families that have grown up in a different time with the knowledge we can leave the Earth. They're born into the space age. I don't think people now would be too concerned about hearing from or a message that we've been contacted. I don't think that fear factor would be there anymore. The curiosity factor would probably take over. So what they're saying here in this story is that we're more likely to hear more UFO reports because people are less worried about reporting them now. Yeah. Do you know what? 30 or 40 years ago when I was doing my UFO investigative work, it was very hard to do. People didn't want to open up. They were a bit concerned about being ridiculed. And it wasn't a fashionable thing to say that you believe in UFOs or whatever. So we're looking now that perhaps maybe with more people out there, with more cameras out there, who knows?
Dave, always good to talk to you, mate. We'll catch you again next week. But of course, go to DaveRenneker.com if you want to find more details on these stories or check out the socials.
Facebook. Catch you next week. Bye-bye.